086 60 25,000. That's our WhatsApp and text number. Give us a call on 07491 25,000. A caller says, I understand that parents are concerned, but teachers have a very vast curriculum of what they have to cover. Dealing with taboo topics such as sexuality, the SPHE and consent is difficult to do in front of a group of children. Often I find teachers don't even cover SPHE as it's too awkward for them. We also need to be more concerned about what our children are accessing online. At least what they learn in school is vetted to an extent. Yeah, I mean, could you be concerned as to what's being taught at school if your 13, 14-year-old has a phone that you don't monitor? It would be a bit ironic, but yeah, I take where you're coming from. And I just want to say, by the way, I would be relatively, not that it matters, but just, I'd be relatively conservative, if you know what I mean. Not generally speaking. I'm not really sure what I am or what I'm not. But in terms of protection of children, it's very important to me that children are protected. And if that sometimes is educating them on certain matters properly, that doesn't in any way corrupt them, but empowers them or lets them know what's right and what's wrong, then I would potentially be in favour of that. But it's important that we know what's going on. So just to be clear, I think it's very welcome that sort of, you know, gender issues are not being discussed in primary schools, for an example. So I think that would be, leave me in the sort of conservative bracket. And I'm only clarifying that just that to emphasise the fact that I wasn't challenging Rebecca on those big issues. It's facts, what's being taught, how it's being taught, and our right to know what's going on or to withhold our children from it. A caller says, it's very simple. Teach your child yourself and don't leave it to the school. So regardless of what the school teaches, if you teach your own child at home, there should be no issue, says a listener there. I think it's really some parents don't want some teachers talking to their kids about puberty. Spout lies from Facebook. Do your own research. Why? So we can be led to the same propagandists you are. No, you've made a claim, so you provide your sources. You don't tell people to go looking because we need to know what you're looking at specifically so we know if it's reputable. Another sounds like their jobs are more important than their morals if they can't save the kids from the scare gaze. Not sure what that means, but read it anyway. My 11-year-old came home from school with a consent form from a group who would be attending her school. She's in fifth class primary. On the form where it asks about gender, it asks, are they male, female or non-binary or prefer to self-described, as this is indoctrination and education is not appropriate at all. Would you do me a wee favour if you still have access to that form and anonymously, would you take a picture of that form and send it in to me here, please, if that's okay? Because I think a lot of people might have concerns that that's being put to someone of that age. In this curriculum for primary school, is bullying dealt with? Another, STEM's as good as dead. We need our kids learning trades. That's what the bots won't be doing. Really good point. And tradespeople, really, really important. I remember, you know, there was a time whereby unless you were doing computers in inverted commas, you were seen as not really doing something good for the future. That listener is dead on, I'll tell you. AI will be doing a lot of that stuff and we will need tradespeople, and you can make a fortune in trades at the moment. A caller says, have they done anything to change how Irish is taught? You spend 13 to 14 years teaching Irish to students and the majority leave with very poor Irish and very few leave being fluent. If we taught maths or any other subject with outcomes like this, it would be changed. Martin, thank you. I don't believe there's any drastic change to how Irish is being taught. Schools should teach children to read and write, history, geography, etc. In my opinion, see, education should be done at home if needs be done. Too much nonsense talked in schools nowadays compared to when I went many years ago. You only have to watch a soap on TV nowadays to see how this is pushed in your face. Go back to normality and let people decide for themselves as they grow pure nonsense. It would be wonderful if every family had that conversation about puberty, about consent, about what's right or wrong. Is there not a strong argument, and I'm only posing this as a question, that if a child is being exploited, you don't have to, you only have to see the level of sexual abuse in this country and the perpetrators, how many of them that there are. Is it not important that we make sure that every child knows that if an adult does a certain thing, that it's wrong, or what's right and what's wrong, or how you can say no, that someone can't sort of try and buy your trust on something and say, listen, this is our secret? No, give the child the ability, if there's a situation, to understand the basics of what's right or wrong in that regard. to understand their body in that regard, but also to be able to say no or to go and see a parent or a guardian and outline that out. Do we not have to, is it not in the best interests of us caring and looking after children and protecting them that that is taught and that we accept that we can't rely on every house to actually do that? Because sometimes the people that are responsible for actually looking after that child could be the person that's exploiting their innocence. I'm not saying that's my opinion. I'm putting that out there as a conversational piece and for us to think about that to ensure that our children are best respected or protected. Incredibly disappointed listening to Rebecca. Can't understand how a parent would be so prejudiced. What they would not want children learning about it means to be gay or lesbian, even though their sisters and brothers might be LGB. It's so sad and disappointing. Views like this, condemning people to the shadows because you don't understand or don't want to understand, has had such an impact on Irish society. We need to stop allowing religion controlling what our children learn. Greg, this lady obviously has not a child in school setting because every parent has the right to choose what the child is being taught and shown at school. Very sad that she can think her information is right and the correct information is wrong. Well, Rebecca does have. Her argument seemed to be that not every parent knows that their child could be being taught this in school, but I don't think it's necessarily like... I'm not saying this is what Rebecca is saying, but you know, I know what's going on, but I need to put this information out there into the ether so other parents know what's going on. I think people are well informed, and I think that most parents are kind of trusting of the school setup because a lot of them have daughters or sons or brothers or fathers that are teachers, and they know kind of what the story is. Frankly, as a parent of four, a caller says, I'm starting to think parents shouldn't have that much say in curriculum at all. The majority of them are proving to be complete failures as parenters and uneducated illiterates with no critical thinking skills. I'd like them to be kept far, far away from my children's education. Another sounds like Rebecca is living in the past. We live in a new age and we have to accept knowledge is power. If you're concerned, take control of your own child's education. I just find it hard to believe that, you know, 13, 14 year olds in this day and age do not know that there are gay and lesbian people on this planet, that their brother or sister could be, that they don't have an uncle who's gay or an auntie who's a lesbian, or they don't see it on Carnation Street or EastEnders, or that. I just can't imagine a 13 or 14-year-old that doesn't know that that is the case and doesn't really have an issue with it. Like, you know, I noticed in my own children at that age it's not something that bothered them. There was no discrimination. There was no, like, othering of people. They just said, well, I'm not that way, but that's the way they are. Now, there are areas there where... You know, there might be issues in terms of gender identity, people thinking they're cats, you know. I think we've moved on from that, the cats stuff and what have you, I think. But I do know there's a lot of people sort of potentially, not all of them, of course, in the LGB community themselves that have had concerns with the way certain conversations are going, particularly as it relates to children and those that are under the age of 18. It's messy in terms of, you know, getting to the bottom of it all. But the curriculum, the new curriculum, is quite clear in what it is teaching. And presumably teachers will stick to that. But anyway, listen, let's keep the conversation going. By the way, all opinions matter. It's time for this week's instalment of Community Garda Information. And I'm joined in studio from the Letterkenny Garda Station by Garda Grainne Doherty. Good morning to you, Grainne. Thanks
morning,
so much
Greg.
For your time. How are you keeping?
I'm doing the best.
That's very good. Well, we'll get into it because we've got quite a bit to get through today, which is great. Right, okay, that's information later. Let's start with appeals. And Gardaí looking for the public's assistance in relation to a collision in Rifo.
Yes, Gardaí, you're investigating a single vehicle road traffic collision. This occurred on the N14 in the area of Carrick a Doss in Rifo on Sunday the 21st of September, shortly after 8:40 a.m. So the vehicle involved was a black Nissan. It had been travelling from Lifford towards Letterkenny when this collision occurred, and the vehicle had ended up in a ditch. The driver and passenger of the vehicle were taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive medical treatment for, thankfully, non-life-threatening injuries. So we're appealing to anyone who may have observed this collision to make contact with Gardaí in Letterkenny on 91671100. If anybody travelled along that route, the N14, the Lifford to Letterkenny road with a dash cam, between 8:30 a.m. and 8:50 a.m. We're asking them, as always, to make that footage available to us, please.
A couple of instances of criminal damage. We'll start in Lifford.
Yes, this incident happened in the Crohan Heights area of Lifford on Saturday, the 20th of September, shortly before 11:30 p.m. So a car that was parked up at that location, it was set alight. Fire services attended the scene. They extinguished the fire. We're interested in hearing from anybody who may have travelled in that area with a dash cam between 11 p.m. and 11:45 p.m. We're particularly interested in any sightings of two people who were in the area. They were wearing their hoods up. If anybody's seen those two people, please get in touch with us. If anybody can assist with any relevant information or dash cam footage from that area, we're asking them to contact us in Letterkenny on 91 67 100. And the Garda Confidential line, this goes for all our appeals today. It can be contacted on 1800 666 111.
Because, I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of it or what the motivation might be. You know, people might feel that they don't want to get involved. And that's where the confidential line comes in. Information can be passed on without the fear of that happening. Now, this is not to say for a moment that you wouldn't get the same level of confidentiality from your local Garda station, but it adds an extra layer of peace of mind, I think.
You would, of course. So for anybody that is apprehensive, as you say, about contacting their local Garda station, that option's always there, the Garda confidential line. And as I said to you before, it's an automated service. It's not even a human being you're put through to when you ring. It's like an answering machine. You talk after the beep. So you just leave whatever information you want to leave. There's no requirement whatsoever on you to leave your name or any of your details.
Right. Now, let's go to Letterkenny and criminal damage incident there too.
Yes, this incident's believed to have happened at Lower Ard O'Donnell, just in the town here in Letterkenny. On Thursday, the 18th of September, in and around 3 p.m, Gardaí received a report in relation to a parked car that was damaged at that location. The wing mirror was reported to have been deliberately damaged by the driver of another vehicle. So it's alleged that this driver was passing by and he used his hand to knock the wing mirror off the parked car as he passed. We're appealing to anybody who might have travelled in that area with a dash cam around that time to make the footage available to us. If anybody witnessed the incident, of course, we're interested in speaking to them also. Gardaí and Letterkenny can be contacted on 91 67 100 in connection with that incident.
Right, Gardaí also investigating an assault on the high road in Letterkenny.
Yes, this assault is alleged to have occurred on the high road in the early hours of Saturday the 20th of September in and around half midnight and 20 to 1 in the morning. So a man was reported to have been assaulted by another man. The man is described as being tall, of slim build, dark haired, and he was wearing a black jacket and black trousers. So following the incident, this man in question took off on foot running in the direction of the main street in Letterkenny. So the injured man attended Letterkenny Hospital to receive medical treatment for injuries he sustained, none of which, again, are life-threatening in nature. We're appealing to anyone who might have witnessed this incident or who might have travelled in the area of the High Road, Letterkenny, between 12:30 in the morning and 1 a.m. with a dash cam to make that footage available to Gardaí in Letterkenny. And again, Letterkenny Garda station can be contacted on 91 67 100.
Yeah, and you'll see it reported on news, or if you listen back, it's a decent description. That person may well have stood out given the time frame and what have you. If you're out in the road returning from a night out, or a taxi driver or what have you, can help there. Right, burglary at the Diamond now in Donegal Town.
Yes, this burglary occurred at a business premises, a takeaway. It's located in the Diamond in Donegal Town in the early hours of Sunday the 21st of September. So between 2:45 a.m. and 3 a.m, two men entered the building through an unlocked door to the rear of the premises, into the staff quarters actually of the building. They caused some damage inside. They didn't steal anything while in there. We're appealing to anybody who may have travelled in the area of the Diamond between 2:30 a.m. and 3:30 a.m. with a dash cam to make that footage available to us. Of course, CCTV is being checked at the minute from nearby premises within the Diamond. Any relevant information should be passed to Gardaí and Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530.
Now, Gardaí are hiring.
We're hiring yet again. The recruitment campaign is underway again. So interested candidates have, it's only just a 3-week window that they have to apply. So they have until 3 p.m. on Thursday the 9th of October. And as always, it's www.publicjobs.ie. You can visit that website for more information or to apply. So we have a few events coming up now in relation to this campaign. Buncrana Community Policing Unit, they're going to hold an information stand in relation to the recruitment campaign on Saturday the 27th of September in the Garda station in Buncrana between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Letterkenny Community Policing Unit will hold two Garda recruitment events on Thursday, the 2nd of October. The first one is in Letterkenny Shopping Centre between 12:30pm and 2:30pm, so maybe useful for anybody that's on their lunch break that wants to drop in there. And then that evening at the Central Library, Main Street, Letterkenny. We did this last year also as well, actually, and we got quite a good turnout. It's in a room downstairs in the library, and that's between 5pm and 7pm. That might suit somebody maybe who would rather not come up. I find sometimes people are a bit wary about coming up to discuss the recruitment campaign.
Really,
maybe, well, maybe in a public thoroughfare. It's just maybe they don't have the time, or they're a bit rushed, okay, and it's a bit too public.
But it's
for
a good
them,
opportunity to ask Gardaí, you know, why this is a good job for me, because it could be someone who's looking for a career change. I mean, I know it's tough. I know it's a tough job. All jobs are tough. But, you know, there is a pay structure there, career progression potentially, and other benefits as well. So, you know, in this day and age, it might be an option, but you don't know unless you go.
Yeah.
And you can talk to Gardaí about why they're doing it, you know, why they got involved, how tough is it, you know, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And in Buncrana and Letterkenny, you'll have the more seasoned Gardaí, I'll say, about myself.
The older ones.
The older, the dinosaurs. You'll have us. But, you know, look, we have our uses too. At least we can talk to you from experience
spring.
About
you look
it.
About spring. I have a few people in here winter.
Yeah. You're being very kind.
All right, maybe.
But also, we'll have trainee Gardaí there also, which is of great benefit because they're going through the process at the minute. They've just been through the application process. They're in the middle of their training. So you'll have guards there who have years of experience who can talk to you about how they found the job over the years, what they're, you know what, take advice from them, and also the trainee Gardaí. So everybody's very welcome to come along to any of these events.
And it's a warts and all too. I mean, obviously, it's like any job. There's going to be challenges and there's going to be advantages and you'll get that information. Right, now, it's a full-time job for some. It's a company, it's a business trying to get money out of people. And there is a phone-based fraud going about at the moment. No harm letting people know about it, Grania.
Yeah, and we've seen quite a few Garda-based, purporting to be guards scams recently by emails mainly, but this seems to be a relatively new one. This is a text message. You get this text message, it claims to be from an Garda Síochána. The message indicates that you have an unpaid fixed charge penalty notice. It will direct you to a link where you may now make payment for that fine that you've received from the guards, this supposed fine. This text message does not come from an Garda Síochána. It is a scam. We do not communicate with people regarding fixed charge penalty notices via text message. All fixed charge notice correspondence is issued by post, including reminders for unpaid fines. So our advice to help avoid becoming a victim of any fraud, any type of fraud really, email or text message fraud, don't respond to unsolicited texters or emails either, seeking private information about you. Private information would be your name, address, date of birth, family details, financial details, PINs, passwords. Never click on a link in an unsolicited text message. Independently verify any requests for information. You know, contact the Garda station. If you get a message
if you've
like that...
Because I think even those that would park that, the back of their mind, they're going to be going, but ring your local Garda station,
the local
24/7 station.
There's
and
no
say,
problem.
Look at... Yeah. Because I'll tell you straight away, it's, no, we don't text it, ignore it, disregard it, then you can have your peace of mind.
Exactly. But it would create panic. That would create 100%. Automatic panic, you know, if somebody got a text message saying that they owe a fine that was issued by the Garda. So do call us. Feel free to call us.
It's an interesting thing too in that, you know, sometimes they have some of your information.
Yeah,
so they might know your name or even where you're from. So you say, right, they know my name, they know my townland, they know my number, there must be something. Now, I presume when they talk about data leaks, this is where it's coming from, right? Even if they have a little bit of personal information, it doesn't mean it's legit.
Exactly. They may start the text message with your name, for instance, your first name, you know, and then that would add to the validity of it for the recipient of the text, you know. So if they do have personal information about you, don't panic. Don't trust them simply because they know your first name or they have some other personal information about you. And Garda Síochána will never look for your banking PIN number or password, ask you to transfer money. They won't come to your home to collect your payment card, checkbook or cash. It's very easy, look, to be to fall victim to this type of scam or any type of scam, really. And we are asking people, if they have fallen victim to this scam or any type of scam, please do contact us, report the matter. And also, it's very important, if you feel that you have compromised your financial details in any way, if you've provided banking details, contact your bank also and make them
really,
aware.
Really quick, because even if it's appears to have come out of your account. If you act quickly, there can be ghost payments and inverted commas, so there can be a chance to turn it around. A, there's no shame in getting scammed. These people are professionals, so notify the Gardaí, and B, get onto your bank as soon as you can to see if those payments can be reversed or blocked. And ultimately, don't click anything in a text. If you have any doubts, ring the bank back, ring the guards back, ring the post office. You know what I mean? They'll be able to validate it for you straight away. And part of the scam as well is if they try and get you on the phone, if they try and keep you on the phone, because they know if they tie you up on your mobile, you can't do your due diligence. And that's part of it as well. I've heard of scams where people have been locked on the phone for 25, 30 minutes, right? Okay, good stuff. Interesting question, this one. Hi, Greg. If possible, could you ask Grania a question for me? Is it legal for someone to have two tractors with the same number plate on the road at the same time? And if so, would both be insured? Thank you.
Oh, two vehicles cannot have the same...
I don't know why we pay you for this information. I can answer this
You one. Could have answered this one possibly, yeah. So two vehicles cannot have the same registration plate simultaneously. A vehicle's registration plate, it's fixed to the vehicle when it's first registered. It remains with that vehicle until, and in which case, if it's ever deregistered, it will remain with that vehicle. You cannot transfer a registration plate from your car to another car, from one tractor to another tractor. It's not legal. So in this case, the tractor with the duplicate plate wouldn't be covered by any insurance relating to the registration number from the other tractor. I would advise this caller and anybody that's aware of this type of behaviour going on to contact Gardaí, make them aware of it. You can, again, the Gardaí confidential line can be used on 1800 666 111.
And you might say, well, why? You know, why should I? Well, if you come around a corner and you're involved in a collision with that tractor that's not legal, you know, then all of a sudden you'll be very interested in and whether it's registered or if it's insured. I was recently involved in a collision, but the other driver was clearly on drugs. They were not tested for alcohol or drugs. I thought this would automatically happen as I was in shock. I didn't say it. Is it not standard procedure for both drivers, if involved in a collision, to be tested, or do you have to request testing?
No, so Gardaí must test drivers if they're involved in serious collisions for both alcohol and drugs. So Gardaí can still exercise discretion. They can choose not to test a driver if it would be prejudicial to their health or if they're too seriously injured and they require immediate medical attention. So sometimes that happens also. It's not possible to treat them there at the scene or to test them, sorry, at the scene. I'm not in full, I haven't got the full facts of this incident, but it might be the case maybe that nobody was injured, you know, as a result of this collision or seriously injured. It could be the opposite. It could be the case that the other driver was too seriously injured to be tested. So I'm not in possession of the full facts, so I can't say for sure. But it would be procedure that at any serious, and certainly involving a serious collision, if Gardaí arrive at the scene, that they do test both drivers for
but
alcohol.
But if I met a car on a B road and we both clipped wing mirrors, right? Unless the guard, I mean, this person is saying that they believe that the other person was clearly on drugs. But in that scenario, it's quite possible if the guard didn't believe that to be the case, that they would take notes of what it is, and it's a 50-50. It's an insurance company job sort of thing, is it? Well, is that a possible scenario?
And a material damage collision, say, that we would call it, where there's no injuries. Yeah. I mean, the guards, in this instance, as with every collision, they would have been at the scene. They would have spoken to both drivers, and I would imagine that had there been any suspicion that the driver was under any at the influence of any type of intoxicant, that they would have tested them at the scene. But then, look, I can't say. I don't know the full facts.
Yeah, you can only give a broad answer because we've limited information.
Yeah, but that caller is free to contact. They would have the details off the investigating guard in that case, and they are free to contact them. You know, there's no problem whatsoever. If anybody ever has any queries in relation to any type of incident, they would be given the investigating guard's details. Contact them and just query the matter with them. There won't be any problem.
Okay, I thought we had a great night. Was it this night last week?
It sure was.
In the Abbey Hotel. Indeed, time marches on. It was the 2025 Donegal Garda Youth Awards. And as I say, I thought it was a great night. What do you have to say about it?
Well, you had great company.
That's why you had
such a good night.
All those amazing young people.
Yeah.
And there was a few guards knocking about.
There was a few guards knocking about too. It was fantastic. It was very enjoyable.
And everyone stayed. I don't think one person left.
Everybody stayed till the bitter end.
It wasn't bitter. It was quite a sweet end.
Yeah, it was. But it happened last Tuesday night at the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town. It's hard to believe. It's a week ago, actually. The Gardaí Youth Awards Ceremony 2025 took place. And this is an annual awards event. It's organised by an Gardaí Síochána and proudly sponsored again this year by Supermax. So this event highlighted the generosity, resilience and determination of young people who go above and beyond to make their communities stronger. So every youth that was nominated received a certificate at the start of the event. The five overall award winners were then revealed later in the evening by Judge Emily Daly. So we'll just give them a wee shout out and congratulate them. The individual award went to Carolina Byrne from St. Columbus Comprehensive School in Glenties for her outstanding commitment and impact on our local community. The Special Achievement Award was Rhianna Reynolds. She was nominated by Feroiga. She was recognised for overcoming personal challenges and making a difference. The Community Safety Award was won by Casey Reid and Aoife Cameron from Termon GAA, commended for their initiative in promoting safety and well-being among their peers. The Group Award went to John Cannon and Ryan Quinn from Termon GAA Club again. They were honoured for their collaborative efforts and community service. And last but not least, Paddy Boyle from Tory Island got the Special Recognition Award. He was acknowledged for exceptional contribution, a category reserved for extraordinary efforts such as acts of bravery and life-saving.
And they were all brilliant. And, you know, doing great things in different ways as well, be it sort of trying to promote intergenerational interaction, amazing acts of bravery, you know, using a platform to try and progress issues for young people. Like, a brilliant sample of what's going on out there, I think. So fair play to everyone that was nominated. Really, really deserving. And I'm not just saying that. You know, you really brilliant, strong young people.
And it is. It's lovely to shine a positive light on them, you know, for a change, because you hear so many negative stories, and there are so many exceptional young people within Donegal and right across the country that deserve recognition. We want to congratulate our overall winners. We want to congratulate all of the young people who were nominated. And we want to thank those who took their time. Also, it wouldn't be possible every year without the people who take the time to sit down to nominate these young people. So we want to thank them also. We want to thank you also, Greg and Kevin Fury from Highland Radio.
Would you recommend me for comparing MC work?
I would highly recommend
it. Would you?
I would very much recommend
it,
definitely.
Okay, that's good. Excellent. Thank you. highly recommended.
Highly recommend you. Now, maybe not recommend you as a you're a very noisy eater to sit beside at the meal.
Nonsense. I'm surprised you noticed, because your face was buried in ice cream all night.
Well, at least it was quiet when I was eating.
Oh, when he messing. And Kevin did a great job as well.
He did.
Too.
And we're very grateful to both of you. And our five overall winners, they'll now be put forward for consideration for a national award.
Mm. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do well.
And hopefully,
we'll
fingers crossed for them now. We're wishing them all the best luck, and we're waiting on word on that, hopefully,
but
in the next few weeks.
But listen, the success was in the nomination and then the overall winners. And listen, if they went on to something national, that would be the gravy, the icing on the cake. But they've achieved greatly as is. All right, brilliant stuff. Presumably you launch 2026 next week.
Well, we'll launch it. Not next week. But no, very soon, soon. Can I just say one very quick thing before I go as well? And it's not in the notes, but it just came to my attention there. I know we mentioned it last week, I think, and back a number of weeks before that, in relation to fraudulent notes. I just want to, just to the business owners
locally.
Oh, yeah,
you mean locally, like 20 quid notes and
these
stuff?
These are the Bank of England £20 notes, and they were taken in by a few premises in Letterkenny and Buncrana in July, and more recently again, they've appeared again in Bundoran last week. So I was just made aware there this morning that a business premises here in Letterkenny received some of those notes again this week. A quantity of these notes were given in. So they're the £20 Bank of England notes, and up on the top left hand corner of that note there's a hologram near the 20. There's a hologram there. So if even a quick check, if you're taking these in at the point of sale, just even do a slight scratch, that peels off on these fraudulent notes, and it says prop money underneath. Just be very vigilant. You know, business owners, speak to your staff, check the notes thoroughly.
Do you know the thing too? Like, we were so much aware of cash and fraudulent notes. I couldn't tell you what a £20 note looks like.
No,
genuine, not anymore. Like, between, you know, most of my transactions are digital, and I'd say an awful lot of shops' transactions are digital. And I just think, if you're 18, 19, 20, or even 30, 35, and you're working in a shop, like, you need to be shown what is a real note
exactly,
and what isn't.
And maybe that isn't being done anymore because so many people are tapping their phones or their card, and they're not.
I couldn't tell you what a £20 note looks like.
It's just something I wanted to mention just to make business owners, because we've had quite a few instances of it now, and in a lot of the cases they're asking for these notes to be changed over to the euro currency.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's being done,
and
unfortunately,
they're probably
in some
saying,
of the
look,
shops.
I don't care about the exchange
rate of that, yeah.
So obviously prop money, that must mean that they're covering that up with a little sticker.
It's a wee hologram. Yeah. It's up in the top left-hand corner of the note.
Okay,
and if you
so
do a slight bit
off.
Of scratching at that, but even, look, use the marker. Use whatever method you have in the shop to check notes. Yeah. Be very vigilant. Just
okay, for sure. Because that's money lost. Okay, thanks very much, Grania. Appreciate it. That's Garda Grania Doherty. We'll be back with Community Garda information after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. And just to remind you, you can listen back to it on our podcast live on our website from 12:30, and it'll be up on Highlands and the Garda Síochána's Facebook page a little later on today. Donald Trump and his czar of health in the United States, RFK Jr. They said effectively they were gonna cure autism. That was 5 months ago, and they said we're gonna do this really, really quickly. And then yesterday, the White House came out and said that Tylenol, effectively paracetamol, a moment of correction on that, causes autism to the point whereby he said that this was the answer to the condition. Now, obviously, you know, I've looked at studies myself. We're going to talk about that now, whereby and studies involving millions of children, whereby that connection has not only not been proven, but has not really even been identified. Dr. Dennis McCauley is a general practitioner and is with us on the show now. Dennis, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Greg.
I suppose, I mean, firstly, there's two things here. A, the claim, but B, sort of the implications of what has been said. They're two very serious matters, connected and almost separate. But I suppose your initial reaction to what Donald Trump said as it relates to paracetamol effectively and autism.
It's very disturbing. It's really not science. It's just dogma. It's just an agenda-driven dogma. I think I want to state unclearly, this is not true. This is from the source that advised us to take bleach for COVID. So just stop it. It's not true, but it's worrying that it's happening, and it's part of an overall agenda, which is very worrying.
How do we know that what he's saying is unproven?
Because there's no science is very easy. I can remember when statins came out initially, I gave a talk that I didn't believe in them because the science wasn't there. And then the science appeared and you said, I'm probably one of the biggest prescribers of statins. Science drives medicine. Logic drives medicine. Now, this is in the same realm as bleach cures COVID. There's no evidence. This has come out of nowhere. This is hopefully they'll hope that the autism rates will, you know, they'll say it'll take a couple of years, i.e. when they're out of government. This is absolutely no science. There is no basis to this. I haven't read a study in that regard. I'm old enough to remember the Andrew Wakefield thing about the MMR, and I think we've got to just come out straight and say, this is not true. This is absolute nonsense. This is from bleach. This is the same as Bleachgate. It is rubbish. I think that's important. There is no
ambiguity,
change of that. This is rubbish.
I would also be very peed off if I was a woman because, you know, carrying a child is difficult enough as it is. And there's a number of people could be bothered by this. Women could be discouraged from taking paracetamol when it's advisable to do so. And I presume that potentially could be ramifications for their child they're carrying in certain circumstances. But also B, people who are already dealing with a diagnosis of autism or a child with autism, and then effectively potentially being made feel guilty as if in some way it was their responsibility. I know there's houses in America or wherever it might be where a husband's turning to the wife saying, listen, this is your fault. You were the one chewing paracetamol throughout the pregnancy or whatever it might be. So, you know, the ramifications of this are huge.
Oh, there's so many. It's for the poor, you know. Autism is a multifactorial issue and there are so many things, but we had to it took us a decade to get the whole disconnect between MMR and autism. And I think that would cause so much distress for people. And as a result of that, people didn't get vaccines. And as a result, there were health consequences as a result of this. So I agree. I think, from the medical point of view, there's the medical and there's the political point of view. From the medical point of view, the effect that it's going to have on people who have children with autism. Then in relation to pregnancy, I think there is a political thing here going on. There's an agenda-based thing that, you know, women's rights, women's autonomy, look at the restriction of contraception, look at the fact that they're encouraging natural IVF before going to for IVF. You know, it is really, is it a displacement theory issue? Are we going to get eugenics next? It's really, really, it's frightening. And it's actually, there are so many strains to this. You see Robert F. Kennedy Jr. undermining good science when it comes to vaccinations. And just getting back to pregnancy, they are against vaccination of ladies during pregnancy, whether it be the flu, COVID, or the actual whooping cough, all of which are strategies that save mothers and save children. And there's no doubt about that. There's the issue with antidepressants in pregnancy. And it's a more difficult thing, but it is still there. But they have poo-pooed. There's even someone who sort of said that, you know, depression doesn't exist in pregnancy. It's a gift. You know, these are discussions which are undermining the autonomy of women. It is a disgrace, and it's in a worrying agenda. But even coming back from the politics, because I am a doctor, but I do look at health policy as well, and the health policy changes in the United States are worrying, and they seem to be victimizing women, and they're against prevention. Two of the most stalwart parts of medicine.
Really, it is really quite remarkable, and one would have to wonder what the motivation is. I mean, yesterday too, Donald Trump says that babies are getting 80 injections a week. This is the kind of information that he's throwing out there as just off the cuff stuff, but people listen to him religiously. I want to come back to a point on that, but I also just want to talk about the use of paracetamol during pregnancy. Is it generally what guidance do GPs give, or why would it might be important to take paracetamol for certain conditions to protect the mom and, ironically, in this conversation, the baby? So what is the guidance there, Dennis?
Paracetamol is a safe painkiller. It's also used as we know from our children to take down temperatures in mothers. A high temperature for a mother during pregnancy is bad for them. It's bad for the child. Being in acute pain in pregnancy is bad for the mother and is bad for the child. So this is why we say that there are certain antibiotics that are totally safe from the moment of conception to delivery. And mothers, naturally, they want to do the best for their children. So they're always worried, and they'll always just double check if this is safe. And this is why I want to say paracetamol is safe. This is rubbish. This information is rubbish. And there are certain other things like and antibiotics, which are they're totally safe for the whole, the certain antibiotics that are totally safe. And I think that, you know, if they were chatting about that, I would be more interested in chatting about alcohol during pregnancy, which, you know, we have a loose association, a loose respect for alcohol during pregnancy. I would be much more inclined to mention that. But also, it's the flu season. It's the COVID season. Pregnant ladies' immune system drop during pregnancy. Having a COVID vaccine and a flu vaccine is very safe. The whooping cough vaccine is very important to protect your child when they are delivered, because whooping cough, because of this vaccine skepticism, whooping cough is coming back. You don't want to have your child be exposed to whooping cough. So vaccination, paracetamol, antibiotics, it's all safe during pregnancy because the science says so. These information that was given last night was given from the same person who thinks that bleach was good for COVID. That is the level of scientific rigor.
It just is, and I say this is politics, the consequences of trying to get a win on something is huge here. As I say, there's been studies involving 2.2 million children in Sweden, I believe it was, where they were able to cross-reference everything, twins, siblings, kids that were raised, had the same sort of environment, but one twin might have autism, another twin may not. Like, over a number of years, it's exhaustive, and it could actually demonstrate no actual link between these two things. My concern is, and this is a broader one, is that now medical advice has become politicized. I get that some people were skeptical about how COVID was dealt with. We've learned lessons from that. Some of what was said was correct, it turns out, potentially. I'm not getting into that. But now that people blindly, because they support a political movement, might take unhealthy advice that could be damaging, particularly to women and children, that needs to be depoliticized, in my view. People can have a distrust or cynicism or skepticism and do their own research, right? But to blindly go down an avenue because of a certain person you might support politically, incredibly concerning.
I think it is really, it is a paradox. The people that are suffering here because of the misinformation in the United States particularly are children because of the vaccination issues. And now there's, as I mentioned, there does seem to be an agenda sort of respecting women completely opposite of
it
that.
It also feels like it's like they're not saying it, but it's God's will almost.
It is cherishing. It is cherishing the woman, and that you basically, it just is, I can just, it just, I have fears coming down the line, and it is really scary. And I think it is, you know, you don't really need IVF now. There are natural methods. And unfortunately, there are certain mothers who just, I've been involved in infertility all of my practice life. And, you know, it is such an emotional issue. And then to be told that you shouldn't do that, and it's bad, and it's almost a sin to actually go for these things. If you add any emotional baggage to anything such as that, it is a disgrace. And okay, it is, you know, I'm just talking about eugenics. I'm talking about displacement theory. I'm talking about all of this. This is in the background circling. And we used to laugh that it would never come. But, oh, Lord above me, I just, when you see this and you just see the blatant political aspect of this, this will never be proven or disproven in the term that he has left. So he'd say, I cured autism. The figures to show that it's complete nonsense will not be there till he's out of power. No. It is so cynical.
And it should be also worth noting that autism was identified long before over-the-counter paracetamol actually became available. There's a 20-year gap there. Okay.
I don't think we should actually even try to justify.
I get you, I understand. But I mean, that's just a basic fact. You don't even need to study to determine that. Okay, Saan, thank you, Dr. Dennis McCauley. I do appreciate it. News on the way.